Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Songhai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon, kicking off Pacific Northwest Month. All our shows all month long featuring people of the Pacific Northwest where we reside. But some show notes before we get going today. If you're looking for pro wrestling, there is a ton of it happening. Tonight, WCWO, like usual, at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana. EMW in Apache Junction, Arizona. Big Time Wrestling in Newark, California. 3-2-1 Battle in our neck of the woods in Seattle, Washington. AWN in Fort Valley, Georgia. 3XW in Des Moines, Iowa. NWA Wrestling in Franklin, Kentucky. RCCW in La Crosse, Wisconsin. NWA Supreme in Seymour, Indiana. And USA Championship Wrestling in Bolivar, Tennessee. Tomorrow night, Hoosier Pro Wrestling returning to Columbus, Indiana. SCW in Seattle, Washington. Project 42 also in Seattle, Washington. 302 Pro Wrestling in Felton, Delaware. MCW in Joppa, Maryland. WPW in Vancouver, BC. PWA in Campbell River, BC. EBPW in Pacheco, California. The NWA Supreme in Madison, Indiana. NGW in Crawfordsville, Indiana. APW in Feds Creek, Kentucky. UCW in Salt Lake City, Utah. ASWA in Mansfield, Ohio. Destiny Wrestling, Albuquerque, New Mexico. NAWA in Drexel, North Carolina. Metro Pro Wrestling in Kansas City, Kansas. And TSW in Corbin, Kentucky tomorrow night. I believe our guest has joined us, so I would like to welcome to the show one of the bright, shining stars of professional wrestling in the Northwest, Big Jack Cunningham. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Going very well. And since today's your first time with us, you're going to get our traditional first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
So I was a lifelong fan. My older brother got me into wrestling when I was a kid, like probably around like 5 or 6 years old. Grew up watching it my entire life, loving it, always wanted to do it. And then as soon as I graduated high school and a lot of my friends were going off to college and stuff, I decided this is going to be my chance. I'm going to go to wrestling school. So I looked up local schools, found the Buddy Wayne Academy, and it had like a whole bunch of credit going for it. It seemed like the most credible school, and it was close enough. It's about a 90-minute drive each way. But I decided to start training, and I've been there for almost 5 years now and working shows for about almost coming up on 4 years. So that's basically it. It's just something I always wanted to do and then decided to do it.
Like you mentioned, Buddy Wayne School is probably the most reputable wrestling school in the Pacific Northwest. It gets a lot of praise from the people within the industry, not only in our region, but elsewhere. People that are familiar with Buddy Wayne and or his students, what do you think it is about Buddy Wayne and his school that makes this really the hotbed for young talent coming out of the Northwest today?
I think there's a bunch of reasons. I think Buddy is, like, out of all the schools in the area, I think he's one of the last, like, really old school guys. And there's been a tradition when teaching wrestling of, like, you know, this is how it works, this is how it works. And then I feel like nobody's really teaching those old school methods anymore, like, not that old school psychology. So you get the tried and true, proven, tested formula from Buddy Wayne that's been working forever, and it still does. Like, wrestling changes, it evolves, but, like, at the core, when it comes down to the basics, ring psychology, how to bump, footwork, all that stuff, like, he's a master. He's a master at everything, and, like, if you can't learn how to be a good wrestler in the Buddy Wayne Academy, like, I just don't think it was meant for you. Another thing is, like, he's out of the Pacific Northwest. He's one of the few schools that isn't directly associated with a show. And so a lot of times you'll see when a show has a school, I feel like it's more common that people start getting on shows before they're ready. And I don't think that's ever good. And so I've seen people start training students and they're on shows like within 3 months and stuff like that. And that's up to them. That's their call. But like Buddy Wayne, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, if he doesn't think you're ready for a show, you're not going to wrestle on a show. So there's also that level of, like, you have to get the Buddy stamp of approval before you're even allowed to leave the academy. So I think there's just, that's what, you know, a couple of the reasons why there is, or seems to be, a higher rate of success coming out of the Buddy Wayne Academy. So, like, you have just recently, like in the last few years, you have people like Jarrell Nelson coming out, who has wrestled on Raw. You have King Cash, Carl Cunningham, my tag partner, who wrestled on, like, SmackDown, Darby Allin, who's doing great in Evolve, Eric Locker, who's, like, killing it at OVW and doing, traveling everywhere doing his stuff. And there's, like, a pretty good pedigree going now that you just, you don't really see from any of the other local schools. And that's nothing against them. There's so many great schools in the area. I just think Buddy's, and again, there's some bias there, but I think Buddy's is the best. And I think there's evidence there to back it up.
What a lot of fans wouldn't know and what a lot of people in the industry don't seem to know, Buddy Wayne is someone that Rip Rogers gives a lot of credit to as far as training. He really likes the training that Buddy does, and he likes how his students work. Rip is responsible for training a lot of the people that appear on national television. He was the head trainer at OVW for a very long time, both when it was a WWE-affiliated company and when it was strictly independent. I'm not sure that people are aware of that connection, and that's actually a good way to know that you're getting quality training when someone that's put out a lot of guys that are on TV now looks at another trainer and says, that's who you should go to if you're on that side of the country. Do you think a lot of people, especially when they're first starting to look at schools, give much thought to things like that? Or do you think that's something that a lot of people getting into the business today don't really seem to understand or appreciate?
That's a great question. I think a lot of the time, they just don't really think about it. It doesn't come up as much as you would hope. So when people think I want to be a pro wrestler, you know, they just kind of Google like what schools are around me and like they go to the closest one. Cause like, they don't know that there's a difference between schools. And if you're ever going to a school, like you should look into it, see the credibility and like, who trains, who's come out of the school. There's like a whole bunch of like, you know, things to look for in picking a good school for you. And so I think what happens is that, you know, a lot of schools out there have people teaching that, you know, shouldn't be, but, you know, kids just want to get in a wrestling ring. I was guilty of it too. It's just so exciting when you start that you don't really, if there's a school, you know, you're going to go there. You don't really care if it's not the most credible. So the ratio of like really good schools, I feel like is dwindling, but there's still some great ones out there. And if you look hard enough, like you'll find a place. And if you want it enough, you'll go to that place. So, yeah.
And you mentioned your tag partner, Carl Cunningham. The two of you team regularly in a number of promotions. You also do singles at a number of different promotions. Do you personally have a preference as far as being a singles wrestler or a tag team wrestler?
That's another great question. I love them both. I love all things wrestling and everything in it. But growing up, my favorites were like, you know, the Dudley Boys, the Hardy Boys. And like, I've just always had such a passion for tag team wrestling. And I love the stories that you can tell through tag team wrestling and the psychology. It's unlike, you know, any other kind of match. So I think if I had to choose a favorite, I'd say tag team wrestling. It's I feel like that's my bread and butter. I love both, but that's definitely my my favorite.
We're a little over 24 hours away from the next Project 42 show in Seattle. You've been on all the Project 42 shows so far and had a couple of really memorable matches with Darby Allin at Project 42. Going into tomorrow night's show, what do you think about what Project 42 has done as a promotion thus far?
I can't put over Project 42 enough. It's one of my absolute favorite promotions to work for. I think I've had some of my best matches there at that show, and I think a lot of that is because they give you, as a worker, as a wrestler, freedom in your matches, which, again, is like, as a wrestler and as a, like an artist, that's like one of the favorite things you're looking for. I think they are different. I think they have their own niche from like other wrestling companies. What they do on a show, you're not going to see, you know, anywhere else in the Pacific Northwest, whether it's including the music in their shows, the live music, or just the characters and the storyline. It's so much different from any other show. And I think that's obviously what sets them apart. And it's always great to have another like super cool, awesome wrestling show in the Pacific Northwest to work for. So I wish them all the success, and I love wrestling there.
Like I said, you had a couple of really memorable matches with Darby Allin, and this was just prior to his start with Evolve, where he eventually signed a contract a couple of months ago. I questioned Darby's living status at one point in time in the second match that you guys had. What was it like in a match with someone like that, and you were going at it pretty ferociously in an anything-goes match, and someone of Darby's size just wouldn't die?
I mean, that's kind of Darby's style. He's one of my favorite people to work and to wrestle, and that's just pretty much who he is. He doesn't die. And you can throw anything at him, and he'll take it, and he'll get up and, you know, go for more. He's a complete madman. He will do anything in a wrestling ring. But, yeah, those are, you know, two of my favorite matches. I don't think I've had many other opponents that gel with me as well as Darby Allin does. And I'm so happy for all the success that he's gotten with Evolve. And he's doing really well for himself. And it's cool to have, like, again, that pedigree coming out of Project 42. It's cool that, like, they had him there at those shows before he, like, started taking off the way he has. So another feather in the cap. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. You wrestle in a few promotions that have a television presence. WCWC comes to mind, as they have a television show in Portland. Do you have to have a different mindset when you wrestle for television as opposed to strictly a live show where there's no taping for television or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. So at a regular show without like a house show, essentially, all you have to worry about are the people in the crowd. And so you try to make sure that, you know, they all get a good look at what you're doing in the ring. But when you're on television, other things matter. You always want to make sure you're working the hard cam. You want everybody to see that's like the base view angle that you're going to get. And you always want you know, everything that looks good, you want to have it look good that direction. That just kind of makes sense. Everybody gets the best view. And it's interesting, and it's a little weird to account your match for people that aren't even there, just to the camera. And then also, like, if you're going to be on TV, like, you know, you might wear your nicer gear or your new boots and stuff like that, something a little flashier for the cameras. But, yeah, time is much more important because it's TV and you have to get, you know, in between commercials and stuff like that. So it's a lot more strict when it comes to the time of your match, entrances and stuff like that. It's interesting. It's a very cool diversity between the two.
Being trained by Buddy Wayne, who was on TV back in the Al Tomko era, which was national TV in Canada, to WCW, to the WWE, he's wrestled countless TV matches. Do you think that gives you an advantage when you're wrestling from promotions that does have television as opposed to someone that was trained by someone that never was really on television, even if they were a successful wrestler, but just on promotions that didn't really have TV exposure?
Yeah, I think so. Buddy never, like, Buddy's done everything. Like, he's done the television, he's done house shows. If you want to work, like, lucha style, like, he knows that. British style, he knows that. Like, he's just a master. He knows everything. And so the way he teaches, he's never really saying, like, hey, and do this for TV or do this for TV. But he teaches you the way to wrestle, and then eventually once you get to TV, you do these things, and it kind of pops into your head, and you're like, oh, this is why we do it this way, because it's better for TV, and stuff like that. So, like, it's this really interesting thing where he teaches you, but you don't even really know what you're learning until you put it into use, and then you're like, oh, that's what he meant. It's really cool. It's a cool system, because then you still kind of learn it on your own, but he gives you that, like, push. It's really cool.
Now, one of the things that is not really prominent right now in the Pacific Northwest is women's wrestling. There's some really great women's wrestlers out there right now, but there's just not a large number of them currently. What do you feel about the state of women's wrestling as it relates to the Pacific Northwest right now?
There's a lot to that. There's obviously, when you come to a ratio, there's a lot less female professional wrestlers than there are male. And I think the reason is because a lot of them get scared off in the beginning, or the way shows are booked and women are treated. Women just have this mentality where they don't think women can be wrestlers because you don't see a lot of them. And even when you do, they're not given the same time and they're not given the same types of matches. I think women's wrestling in general is on a huge upswing. When you see what's happening in WWE and NXT, the girls that just kill it in Japan, Lucha Underground is a great representation. But in the Pacific Northwest, you have some huge standouts too, like Cat Power, who's awesome and started traveling to Japan and doing that stuff. And Nicole Matthews, who just worked NXT, and she's like one of the absolute best in the Northwest. She's so great. And then you have like Kate Carney, who's main eventing Project 42 tomorrow in a last person standing match. And I think that's one of the best ways to help with women's wrestling in the Pacific Northwest is to have intergender matches. I know it's like frowned upon by a lot of people, but I think if you do it right, it's more stories to tell. And for instance, my match tomorrow is a tag team match where me and Johnny Flynn are facing two girls, Rebel Kell and Holly Lane. So I love wrestling intergender matches, again, because it's a different psychology and different stories to tell. And I think women's wrestling in the Pacific Northwest is it's on an upswing. It was a slow one, but it's on its way, and I think it's getting a lot better.
I say that there's not a lot of women's wrestlers out there in the Pacific Northwest, but when you look at the overall picture, and a lot of people don't realize this, a lot of the women that are national television wrestlers have come through the Pacific Northwest. Becky Lynch was in Pinnacle Wrestling and the old CPW. Tamina Snuka lives in Vancouver, Washington. Emma got her start up in British Columbia. There's a lot of talented women's wrestlers that a lot of people don't credit with the Pacific Northwest. Do you think that when fans look at the landscape that they don't really think of the Pacific Northwest as a hotbed of women's wrestling and maybe don't demand from the promoters to bring in the talented women wrestlers as often?
That's a good question. I think there's probably not a view of the Pacific Northwest as being like a hot spot for women's wrestling specifically. But then honestly, I've heard the term a lot where the Pacific Northwest is the black hole of professional wrestling, where there's a few companies, but it's not nearly as rampant as it is on the, in the Northeast or the South. I think wrestling in general, people just kind of look over the Northwest, which is a bummer because there's been so much talent that has come out of here. And to add to your list too, there's Chelsea Green, who's working for Impact Wrestling now, who's lived in Vancouver, worked for all those shows and stuff. And there seems to be quite a few women wrestlers who have came out of here. And Shayna Baszler, she comes to wrestle here and has had great matches with Nicole Matthews and stuff. So I think, again, it's on an upswing. I'd say, give it a year or two and maybe it will be a spot that fans think of as that's where great women's wrestling is. And that's where great wrestling is in general. I really hope so.
I would concur with you there. We have a game we like to play on the show called Word Association, where I would toss out the names of some people that you likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that comes to mind would be the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
I am so nervous, but I will try, yeah.
All right, here we go. CJ Edwards.
High Flyer.
Kellen Wraith.
Mouth.
Darren Corbin.
I'll say funny.
Annie Wraith.
Sweetheart.
Kevin Sullivan.
Friendly.
El Sonico.
Great guy. I'll just say great.
Kate Carney.
Perfect.
Dr. Luther.
Hero.
Stuart Kemp.
Nothing's jumping up. Interesting.
Buddy Highway.
Kind.
The last one, King Cash.
I'll say Royal.
All right. And we mentioned in Word Association Kevin Sullivan. He has gone on record numerous times as being a very big fan of not only yourself, but also most of the students out of the Buddy Wayne Academy that he has come across. When you get that type of an endorsement from someone that used to be in charge of hiring people for what was then the largest wrestling company in the world, what does that mean for someone like yourself that's still pretty young in their career?
It's incredibly humbling in a way. Obviously his opinion and viewpoint is respected so highly. And Buddy Wayne loves him, always said, speaks very highly of him. So to get that, those kind of compliments and that, that appreciation from someone who means so much to the business and has, that's incredible. That's greater than any, holy shit chant or anything like that. It's amazing. Having his blessing on my work is one of the greatest feathers in my cap. He's the coolest dude, nicest dude. So lucky, to have met him and had his advice in my ear for my wrestling. It's great. It's really, really, it's great.
At this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know that he has a few questions for you. So, Thez, help
sure.
you as I pass things over to QT for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Big Jack.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Big Jack, I'd like to expand on Sun Guy's word association with a couple wrestlers, if I might. Are you ready for stage two of word association?
Let's hit it.
All right. How about Kellen? He mentioned Christopher Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to keep going?
Yes, please.
Okay. Body Guy.
Okay, Body Guy, okay. Sunny Days.
Energetic.
Okay, energetic, very good, all right. Otis the Gimp.
Friendly.
Okay, all right. Retired Aaron Bolo.
Master.
Okay, and the last one, Dash Venture.
I'm just going to say cool.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. Now, in your opinion, does he bear a slight resemblance to Armand the Vampire on Interview with a Vampire, Armand the Vampire?
I've never seen it, so I can't say. But I have a hunch that I'll say maybe a little.
Oh, okay. All right, if you could look up Interview with a Vampire and look up the character that played Armand the Vampire, you can get back to us in a private message. Yes.
Yes, sure.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right, well, Jack, we usually start off the second half of the show with a standard question. What's the hardest knife edge chop you have received? Now, in your case, I'm going to make it a four-part question,
a four-part
knife edge chop question. Number one, have you ever received a knife edge chop from a lady wrestler named Casey Spinelli?
I might have once in a battle royal. I know my tag team partner, Carl Cunningham, has, according to him, it's pretty legitimate. She has a very good knife edge chop.
Oh, wow. All right. I've got to mark that down. Pretty legitimate. Okay. All right. What's the hardest knife edge chop you have received in the lower 48 states?
There's a couple that jump out to mind. But I'm gonna say Holly Lane, who I'm wrestling tomorrow. She has a really... It'll wake you up for sure. So I'm hoping to avoid any of those tomorrow night.
Wow, Holly Lane. I've got to mark that down. Okay, Holly Lane.
She's
okay.
Super tiny, but she packs a punch.
Wow, all right, okay. All right, what's the hardest knife edge chop you have received at Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles?
Man, nothing specific, but I remember being in a battle royal there, which is just Chop City. So I'm going to say that entire match was one long blur of just getting chopped.
Oh, okay. All right. I think I was at that match, yes. Okay. All right. What's the hardest knife edge chop you've received in Canada?
That's a good one. Nothing really is jumping out to mind there, but again, I'd say it would have to probably just be in one of the many battle royals I've done. There's no one specific person that stands out, but yeah, I've been chopped a lot, so.
Okay, all right. Well, Jack, I saw your YouTube video entitled Kingpin Johnny Flynn versus Big Jack Cunningham MPW. And in the MPW original lineup, Kingpin Johnny Flynn and Lucky Strike Flynn were scheduled to have a handicap match against El Camino, but Lucky Strike Flynn was held up at the border. My question is, since this match with Johnny, have you heard why Lucky was held at the border, and was it because he tried to smuggle cigarettes?
I have not heard anything concrete, but from what I've heard, he was trying to smuggle cigarettes and hair gel. I can neither confirm nor deny, but that's what my sources tell me.
Oh, all right, hair gel. Oh, boy, okay. All right. Now, was this the first time you had faced Johnny Flynn in the ring? And I ask this because before the start of the match, he accused you of being El Camino, but I attributed this case of mistaken identity due to the fact that Johnny Flynn may have been struck in the head by a bowling ball.
Yeah, it's preposterous, the claims that he was making that I am El Camino. Me and El Camino are rivals, in fact. So I don't know how that would work. But I think head trauma, you know, you can't be a bowler and a pro wrestler without getting some kind of, like, knock to the head. So that's my guess. Is why he's...
Oh, all right. Okay, very good. All right. Well, I noticed that Johnny Flynn set a bowling ball bag in the corner of the ring before the match. My question is, why didn't the referee check this bag for foreign objects before the match?
You know, that's a good question. You know, every referee has the right to do that. My guess is they just thought it was part of his, you know, his athletic attire. Like maybe he just has his like bottle of water in there or something. I don't know. Or maybe they inspected it before the match. I have no idea.
Okay. All right. I myself didn't see that bowling ball bag being checked at all. So, okay. All right. Well, Jack, in one of the most seminal moments in Tulalip Championship Wrestling history in Marysville, Washington, besides the Rolling Too Deep stepladder match, the other seminal moment occurred when Lila Lodge took a bowling ball, rode it across the ring, and picked up a 7-10 split on a wrestler, who shall not be named, who was spread-eagled in the corner. My question is, have you yourself ever had a bowling ball used on you as you sat in the corner with your legs spread-eagled?
No, that has never happened, thankfully. And unless... turns out, crazy turn of events, me and Johnny Flynn are tag teaming tomorrow. So unless there's a crazy turn of events where he accidentally gets me, I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future, luckily.
Ooh, okay, all right. Now, say if you suddenly found yourself back in time and somehow you found yourself in the WWE ring, collapsed in the corner, and Rikishi Fatu just heard you collapsed, and he got that look on his face that a stink face would be attempted by on you. What would you rather face, Rikishi starting to back that ass up as he advanced toward you, or Lila Lodge preparing to launch a bowling ball at you?
As funny as it sounds, easy choice, I'd go Rikishi. The man's a legend, and there's been a lot of great wrestlers that have taken that stink face, so I wouldn't mind being on the list.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Jack, when Kingpin Johnny Flynn took off his shirt, were you reminded of a way less muscular Sheamus?
You know, I think Johnny Flynn pulls it off, that look, a little bit better than Sheamus does. But I think it's strategy, too, because if they lay down on the mat, you might lose them. So, you know, who am I to judge?
Yes, their complexion is pretty, from the waist up, I'm sure, very similar. Yes. Okay. Now, Big Jack, would you agree that one of the seminal moments in WWE history was when on Monday Night Raw, they had the Muppets hosting the show, and Sheamus met Beaker backstage and protected him from another WWE wrestler?
I don't know if I'd put it on a top 10 list or anything, but, I am a huge fan of the Muppets in general. So like, yeah, I'll say so. That's a great moment for sure. He also met, I forget the actor's name, but the actor on The Walking Dead, who bears a striking resemblance to him as well. He's making kind of his own TV family, it looks like.
Ooh, okay, well, would you say Beaker is one of your top three Muppets? That's what we're getting at. We're getting to, yes, Beaker.
That's what we're getting at. I don't know. Fozzie's up there, Kermit is up there, and then I think I got to go either Gonzo or Rizzo. So I don't know if he cracks the top three.
Oh, wow. All right, Gonzo. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Jack, a mysterious masked lucha wrestler appeared on the ring apron at the 10:54 mark. He had on a very nice full frontal poncho cape, styled like the one Clint Eastwood wore in A Fistful of Dollars. Did you find out who this luchador wrestler was that interfered in your match?
I never did. It's a mystery. There's, you know, and that's part of the benefit of working under a mask is that, like, you can get away with stuff like that and no one will, you know, if you're good about it, no one will ever know who did it. It's the perfect crime in a way.
To me, he bore a slight resemblance to Northwest lucha wrestler El Sonico. That's just my opinion, though.
That could be. Yeah. I could be.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, Big Jack, while you were enrolled at the Buddy Wayne Wrestling Academy, did they have any written pop quizzes like on Northwest Wrestling History? Pop quizzes?
No, not really. It's the first day is just a lot of bumping and a lot of running ropes and stuff like that, getting some of the basics out of the way. And then if you get, you know, enrolled, because Buddy does have to accept you into the academy, just naturally over time, like, you'll sit and listen and he'll tell stories and you'll get a pretty good wealth of knowledge that way. So I think he saves it until he thinks you're ready for it. It would be my guess.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, a lot of recruits that go into the military, like the people that go into the Coast Guard, or maybe the Army, or, you know, or the Marines at Camp Lejeune, they'll be pulling up into their buses as the civilians. And almost 99.999% of the time, a drill sergeant will enter the bus and he'll start yelling, "Get off the bus and form up on those yellow squares on the asphalt pavement." And all the recruits have to run off the bus in a panic and form up as best they can, ultimately to fail when they try to line up. Now, I'm sure when you entered the Buddy Wayne Wrestling Academy, you weren't on a bus and a drill sergeant didn't ask you to get off, but you probably knew that you were going to have to run the ropes and initially prove yourself somewhat in a physical state. Were you ready for this?
Yeah. I actually, like, as soon as I got out of high school, I knew I was going to go to the Buddy Wayne Academy. And he told me to lose weight essentially before I went. He said I had to lose 200 pounds before he would accept me into the academy. And 1 year later I had done that. And so I was in probably the best shape of my life when I started there. And the first class is always 2 hours and it's just, you know, bumps and running the ropes and stuff. And I made it the full 2 hours. And then he then told me that I was like the only person that had done that their first day. Then I woke up the next morning and could not walk or get out of bed. So maybe it wasn't the best idea, but I'm still proud of it.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. And I'm going to mark down that there was no drill sergeant involved that first day.
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Big Jack, when Sign Guy and myself have traveled to Paulsville, Washington, we sometimes have taken the ferry from Seattle. Have you yourself ever taken the ferry from Seattle to transverse the Puget Sound to go to Paulsville to wrestle?
Yeah, all the time. Whenever we work in the Seattle area, I've taken it a bunch of times.
Oh, all right, okay. Because of your wrestling status, has the captain given you special celebrity status to pull the foghorn?
No, not yet. Not yet, but I'm hoping very soon in the future.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll try to put in a special word for you with the captain. Okay.
Thank you kindly.
All right. Okay. Big Jack, I have taken it upon myself to publish the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Top 9 7/8 Weekly Wrestler Rankings. Such wrestlers as Diafola Dabashi, Aaron Bolo, Adam X, Psycho Sailor, Damon James, and Lila Lodge have made the coveted number one ranking and thus have been rewarded with the coveted Hostess Fruit Pie. To date, Sunny Days has climbed to number two but has not reached number one. Are you aware that 13 months ago you were ranked number five in the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Wrestler Rankings along with Chief Atticula Atticula, the wrestler from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma?
I didn't know that, but I'm hoping now that I get one-fifth of a Hostess pie.
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. I can't bring knives to the wrestling events to cut up said fruit pies. Yes. Yes, the security has cast their wary eye on me time and again. So, yes, I have to go through a semi-pat-down whenever I enter blue-collar wrestling. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Big Jack, did you go out for the shot put or discus in high school?
I didn't do either. I was not a big sports guy through my school career. I never did football or like collegiate wrestling. I played basketball a lot with my friends and ultimate frisbee, which I still play pretty regularly. It's a great game. But for the most part, I stayed away from like organized sports.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, Big Jack, were you a big fan of Yokozuna or Bam Bam Bigelow while you were growing up?
Not as much growing up. I feel like I kind of missed their era a little bit. I started getting into wrestling more like right towards the beginning of the Attitude Era. But since then, I've gone back to watch, like WrestleMania matches, and like, man, too good. They're just too good. A lot of my style is like influenced by Bam Bam. Some of my early gear was influenced by Bam Bam. Big fan of his. And so I want to have like pieces of all the big guys in my work, but also stand out and be my own wrestler.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well said. Okay. Did you happen to see Bam Bam Bigelow in the movie Major Payne?
No, I did not. I've heard of that movie. My parents love it, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Big
I'll add
Jack,
it to the list.
Oh, yes. The list that includes look up the movie Interview with a Vampire and pay close attention to Armand the Vampire and see if he looks like Dash Venture. Yes, two very important homework assignments. Okay.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right, well, Big Jack, what's the one injury you have not suffered that you fear the most?
I fear the most. Well, I always kind of fall behind on movies and video games that I want, because I either work or I work out or I wrestle, and I just never have time. So I fall back on a lot of like media that I want to consume. So I have a list of TV shows and movies that I want to watch when I get a broken leg, and I call it my broken leg list. And I'm going to say that's probably the most feared because it seems, because I'm already planning for it. So it seems just a matter of time.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Broken leg. Ouch. All right. Okay. Well, Jack, do you ever go back on YouTube and look at old Portland wrestling clips to watch Playboy Buddy Rose, Ed Wiskowski, and Rip the Crip Oliver?
I do. And, like, one of my favorite stories, too, is my grandma, who passed away not too long ago, but she always told me this famous story of her hitting Buddy Rose with her purse. Going back and watching that stuff now, it's super fun.
wow, she hit Buddy Rose with her purse. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I saw an old lady shake an umbrella at Buddy Rose while she was seated at ringside, and Buddy Rose cowered behind the referee, yes, and pointed out to the lady and wanted the referee to protect her, to protect him from the old lady. That was hilarious.
That sounds like it. It might have been my grandma.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners if you have any entrance music, and if so, what that entrance music is?
So me and my tag partner, Carl Cunningham, we're using a song called First Blood by Kavinsky, who did some music for the movie Drive. At Project 42 tomorrow, I try to switch up my entrance music every time, so I'm going to let that one be a surprise.
Wow, all right, okay. Can we at Turnbuckle Turmoil suggest tomorrow you use Sir Mix-a-Lot, My Posse's on Broadway?
Yeah, what a coincidence. You figured it out. I will take that into consideration for sure.
Oh, that would be a huge honor, yes. Yes, that'd be very nice. Okay. All right, well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Big Jack, one of the more important aspects of any wrestling show is the referee. A bad referee can wreck a good match. A good referee can help make a bad match a little bit better. You've been around to a lot of different promotions. I know you've come across a lot of different referees so far. Who would you say are some of the better referees out there that promoters should pay attention to and want on their cards?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of refs don't get the credit that they deserve. It's not as easy as a lot of people assume that it is. And like at the Buddy Wayne Academy, every person that learns how to wrestle also learns how to ref. I think if I had to choose one, I would say Rob Richards, who doesn't do it as much anymore, but like, man, oh man, he was good. He reffed a lot of like great ECCW matches, main events. And I was talking about him the other day. I really think, he made a lot of matches better than they were just by, being a really good ref. So yeah, I'd say Rob Richards, he's my guy.
One of the things that I tell a lot of young people that want to get into the business is if they really want to learn from the ground up, refereeing is a good way to do that because you can learn the hows and the whys without having to do them at the same time. Would you concur on that piece of advice?
I love the way that Buddy does it where if you're not working a match, you're in the ring reffing because, you know, being that close to it, you get to learn a lot more than you would just sitting outside watching. So it's a very hands-on approach to teaching the methods. And I think it's probably the best way to do it.
One of the big things in wrestling right now, one of the fads, if you will, seems to be a lot of wrestlers have gravitated towards stand-up comedy and have been trying to entertain fans through comedy when they're not wrestling. What do you think started all of this? And discounting yourself, who do you think does the best job as a stand-up comic when they're not wrestling?
I think, obviously, wrestlers are performers, and they're going to naturally transition to other arts and performance arts. For me, I actually started stand-up before wrestling, so I kind of went the other way with it. But people like Dolph Ziggler, Mick Foley, Cole Cabana has dabbled in it. There seems to be a pretty big crossover going, and then there's also just a ton of comedians who are huge wrestling fans, like Ron Funches and Mike Lawrence. So I think there's just like a bond between the two. I'm not really sure why there is. But I haven't delved into much of it, but I've seen Mick Foley's special, and like I really enjoyed it. So I'm gonna have to say him.
Another thing that has come up quite a bit in wrestling in the last 2 or 3 years that's been sort of a hot topic, a discussion here in the, not only in the Northwest really, but all over wrestling, is blood in professional wrestling in the year 2016. A lot of people really don't like for any blood to be involved in it. The WWE has very strict policies on what happens if there's blood in a match. A lot of commissions have regulations against any type of blood in the match. A lot of people really like having the option of seeing blood in matches because it opens up stories and possibilities and so forth and so on. What's your stance on blood as it relates to pro wrestling in 2016?
I think the blood is can make an impact and take a match to the next level. I think the problem is when it gets overused, because then it means less every time, and then what used to take something to the next level is just standard now. I know there's a lot of people that take issue with all of the regulations in Washington when it comes to wrestling. And personally, like, yes, I disagree with a lot of it. But if there is going to be the option of people bleeding, then I think some of the regulations are a very good thing and a safe thing for the workers, because, like, you have to get blood tests regularly, which is, again, like, if you're planning on bleeding, then I think that should be definitely a standard. Everyone should have blood tests and should be safe. I'm not opposed to it necessarily. I've never intentionally bled in a match, and I don't think I will. I don't see it in the future. But I've definitely bled a lot just from, you know, wrestling in general. It's a very physical contact sport. So I'm not opposed to it, so long as we do it in a safe manner for, you know, not only the crowd, but the boys wrestling.
I've noticed, just watching you in particular, you seem to have a pretty diverse set of wrestling gear. You break out different sets of gear for different promotions, different shows. On shows that you've been on personally, whom in the Northwest would you say has the best gear in general right now?
I would say myself, but if that doesn't work as an answer, I will say my tag partner, Carl Cunningham. Every set of gear we get, pretty much, we try to match. So we have, you know, not only singles gear, but tag team gear. And I think, honestly, he's the only person in the Pacific Northwest that has more gear than I do. And all this stuff looks great. We both design all our own stuff, and he's really good at that. And then the other person I would say would be King Cash. All of his stuff looks super legitimate. He's got great pairs of boots. He's got a bunch of great trunks. And, like, he dumps a lot of money into it, and it pays off because he looks super legitimate. And I think gear is so important. I wish more people put more into it. Because if you want to be taken seriously, you know, you got to look the part.
Absolutely. King Cash, one of the few Middle Eastern wrestlers that we have in the Northwest. There's not very many overall right now in the independents. There's, of course, political reasons for that being the case. We have King Cash. We have Diafula Dabashi. Do you think that a lot of companies miss the boat by not bringing in Middle Eastern wrestlers to play off what's happening in the world as far as real world issues and bringing that into what they present in wrestling?
I think it just depends on what story the promoter and booker and show wants to tell. I think more than anything, every company that doesn't hire someone like King Cash is missing out just because he's a great wrestler and a great worker. I think regardless of his ethnic background, like if you hire him, you're going to have a great match on your show. So I think regardless of, you know, cultural background, it's just, I think that really shouldn't matter so long as they're a great worker, like put them on your show. And Cash is definitely the example. I think when it comes to technical ability, strikes, and like just footwork, I think Cash is the best worker in the Pacific Northwest. It's a shame that he doesn't get to show it off as much as I would like.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug or promote anything and everything, upcoming shows, social media, merchandise, your favorite gas station, anything in the world you want, floor is all yours.
Okay, thank you. Follow me on Twitter. That's at JackStandsUp. Follow the Cunninghams on Facebook. On Instagram, I'm Big Jack Cunningham. If you're ever interested in learning how to be a wrestler, check out the Buddy Wayne Academy. And if you're in the Seattle area, Project 42, tomorrow night, December 3rd, going to have a tag team match with Johnny Flynn against the two pretty newcomers, Rebel Kell and Holly Lane. And it should be a great match. And then, of course, the main event, Kate Carney versus Kellen Wraith in a last person standing match, which should be pretty great. The Project 42 shows are always awesome. The crowd rocks. It's a great atmosphere. So make sure you come out. I think that's everything I got. Thank you.
All right. Well, Big Jack, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us. Best of luck to you tomorrow night at Project 42. I will see you there. And fans, if you are not familiar not only with Big Jack, but also his partner, Carl Cunningham, be it singles or as a tag team, you need to get on board. Fantastic talents. Kevin Sullivan approved. What more do you need to know to get on board with them? Check them out. If you're anywhere near Seattle, you have two shows tomorrow night. You can check them both out. Time will fit so fans can get from one to the other. Get out there, support your local wrestling. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Jackson Bourne will be our guest on Sunday. Should be a fantastic time with him. So we will talk to you on Sunday afternoon.
Never heard like this before.